Welcome to Muskegon History and Beyond, a podcast by the Lakeshore Museum Center. Today I'm going to share the story of an early Muskegon family at the center of a very public tragedy at the turn of the last century. James Balbirnie III was born in Altona, Ontario, Canada in 1838 to James and Jane, who were Scottish-Irish immigrants. And according to an 1851 Canadian census, was one of five children. James married Ellen Watson in 1861, and their first two children, Anna, also referred to as Missy, and James F. Balbirnie, were born in Ottawa, Canada around 1864 and 1865. The family came to Muskegon just weeks after their son's birth, where James joined his father's undertaking business, the same line of work he had been in back in Canada. James's parents, according to family accounts, moved to Muskegon around 1863, and his father passed away in 1866, leaving James to run the family business. By 1870, James had added a furniture store to his mortuary service, and he and Ellen had a third child, Maud, in Muskegon in 1874. James held varying public offices in Muskegon, including the supervisor of his ward, similar to a city commissioner today. He also served 3 years on the Board of Public Works and 8 years as one of the Muskegon County coroners. Balbirnie was elected mayor of Muskegon in 1898 and again in 1899. And this is where we will truly start our story. At this time, he was operating his mortuary and furniture business at 95 West Western Avenue, living with his family in the apartment above. James and Ellen's eldest daughter, Missy, had passed away 12 years prior at the age of 24. Their son, James Frederick, had married in 1887, and he and his wife, Anna, had a son, Ralph James Balbirnie, who was 7 years old in 1899. James and Ellen's youngest daughter, Maud, was 25 at the time and not yet married. It was in the position of mayor that James became acquainted with a man named John W. Taher. Taher had been appointed by the previous mayor as the poor director, a position which he was reappointed to during Balbirnie's first term. However, he was not reappointed for Balbirnie's 1899 term. John Taher was born in Michigan in 1843. Prior to coming to Muskegon in the 1870s, he was a Civil War soldier and lived in Grand Haven. He was married but had no children. He worked as a lumber inspector before being appointed poor director. Now, the fact that he was not reappointed apparently greatly upset Taher, and Balbirnie's son quoted his father, the mayor, in the Chronicle as saying, "Father said," talking of Taher, "he is thinking about that poor director matter all the time. He goes into the office over at the City Hall whenever he can get a chance and fumbles over the books as if he was hunting for something." On June 29, 1899, Taher decided to take matters into his own hands. At just before noon that day, Balbirnie was in front of his shop when Taher approached him. An eyewitness to the event, the mail carrier, Will Webb, had to step around Taher to hand the mayor a letter. After exchanging a few words with the mayor, Webb turned around and immediately heard a shot, which he thought at first was a firecracker. However, Balbirnie exclaimed, according to Webb's statement to the Chronicle, "I'm shot, I'm dying." As Webb turned to run for help, he saw Taher standing in the doorway to Balbirnie's store, and he told the Chronicle, "He turned up something to his mouth with his left hand as if drinking, and immediately brought his right hand holding the pistol around in front of his left side and fired. It all happened so quickly. I couldn't realize what was going on. I heard no words exchanged between the mayor and Taher, either as I came up to them or after I handed Mr. Balbirnie the letter. The mayor was perfectly self-possessed and in his usual good nature while I was talking with him." Another witness, William Burnett Sr., a blacksmith with a shop nearby, is quoted in the Chronicle as to the events after the shooting. "As soon as I heard the shots, I started across the street. He, Balbirnie, walked out of the store, opened the door leading up the stairway, and started up. I followed him up, but before I reached him, he began to waver and fell before I could get to him. I did not hear anybody say anything." Accounts indicate that this fall happened after he had already climbed a flight of stairs up to his apartment and reached his family's dining room. A Dr. W. N. Smart happened to have his offices on the same floor as Balbirnie's apartment and saw him in the hall and also followed him into his apartment. Once Balbirnie fell, the doctor is quoted as saying, "I went to him and examined the wound. I judged rather from its location than anything else that it was fatal. There was not much blood." The Chronicle goes on to say that Dr. Smart heard him yell for his son, "Jimmy, Jimmy, I'm shot," as he was climbing the stairs. Balbirnie died at his home within 10 minutes. Thayer, who drank carbolic acid before shooting himself, was placed on a cot and taken to City Hall, where he died after about an hour. As you can imagine, the city was in shock and mourning. The Muskegon Chronicle wasted no time, running two issues the day of the occurrence as well as a follow-up the next day, and wide coverage of the funeral, which took place at St. Paul's Episcopal Church on Sunday, July 3, 1899. A funeral procession first formed on Western Avenue, and the Chronicle reported that thousands viewed the procession to St. Paul's. It was led by a marshal, W.H. Mann, and then a platoon of policemen. This was followed by Company C of the 34th Michigan Volunteers and a drum corps. They were followed by members of several fraternal organizations of which Balbirnie had been a member. Delegates from other cities were there, including the mayor of Grand Rapids and many other Grand Rapids officials, as well as delegates from North Muskegon and Grand Haven. The Knights Templar, who organized the event, were followed by 20 firemen at the end. The 24th Michigan Volunteers then held a crowd that eventually swelled to 5,000 back as the family entered the church, and mourners filed through the church for 2 hours prior to the funeral. The funeral was led by a Reverend George Forsey with an address titled "Our Greatest Sorrow." After the funeral, the procession then reformed and was led down 3rd Street to Muskegon Avenue, where they turned left and proceeded to Terrace Street, which they took to Irwin Avenue, and finally Evergreen Cemetery. As the Chronicle article that covered the funeral concluded, "So was James Balbirnie, Muskegon's martyred mayor, laid to rest. He sleeps at the west of that great city of the dead, near that city of the living he loved and ruled so well." His wife, Ellen, passed away the following April after a long illness, and his son, James F. Balbirnie, went on to continue the family mortuary business for another 23 years and also served as county coroner until his death in 1922. His family's beginnings and his father's assassination by what the paper termed a political fanatic were discussed in his obituary. His son, Ralph James, continued as the fourth generation in the undertaking business in Muskegon. An interesting side note is that Ralph Balbirnie, running the family business in 1929, renovated the Torrent House as his new funeral home at the cost of $35,000. The business stayed in that location until May of 1942, when he moved it to a home at the corner of Webster and 2nd. Ralph passed away unexpectedly in July of 1951, and the remaining family members appointed James Apostle as manager of the family business, and thus ended the 88-year line of Balbirnie Morticians in Muskegon.